Okay, let's begin. We're up to the end of Perek Lamed Hey. We're winding down Perek Lamed Hey. We have just one pasuk to do. We actually did the pasuk yesterday. We'll just review it very quickly. The Eif Hevel Yiftzat Piu Bivlidas Milin Milin Yach Bir. Okay, Eif. The very end of the parak is where Eliu says his Malamit Schus. His Malamit Schus Milin. All right, whatever.
It's not working.
No, it's good. It's not working. No. Okay, don't worry about it. So we'll survive without it. Oh, for a second. Don't worry about it. Okay. Eoiv Hevel Yiftzat Piu. I'll turn it off. Eoiv Hevel Yiftzat Piu Bivli Das Milin Yachve Pasik Tezayin. Pasik Tezayin Perik Lamed Hey. The very end of the parak, Elihu is melamed tzchus on Eiv. He says, Eiv, what we can't expect better. Eiv is in a very, very bad state, very bad frame of mind due to his yisurim, and therefore Eiv is not held accountable for his harsh words. The Eiv hevel means nothingness. Yiftzat piu, his mouth spurts forth. Divlidas, he speaks without knowledge. Milin yachbir, without knowledge. Milin, words, yachbir, his words are harsh. Yachbir means powerful, or many. Rash is many, he has many words. Let's take a look at the Mesudas Tavah Pasuk Tezayin. Tezayin, v'iyov avol, iyov yifat epi b'divri hevel. Iyov, now he hears word avol, which means that Pasuk Tezayin, according to the Mesudas, is connected as a continuation of Pasuk Tes Vav. In Pasuk Tesvav, Elihu said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes he hides himself, he conceals himself. All right, let's leave with that. Iyov yifata piv b'divrei hevel, Pasuk Tezayin. Iyov is yifata piv yiftach piv b'divrei hevel. Loimar to say she'enu mashkiach b'shvalm b'chosman, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not pay attention to the shvalm, which is not so. The thesis of Eliyahu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fully aware of everything which takes place in this world, and sometimes Hashem chooses to hide himself because number one, Hashem does not truly owe a tzaddik anything, does not have any requirement to reward him or to punish a rasha. I'm assuming say punish a rasha, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have any obligation to reward a tzaddik, and anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a tzaddik is nothing more than a bonus. And being that it's a bonus, a person can easily lose this bonus if he fails to make a machah. But the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very well aware of what takes place in this world. Eve, unfortunately, is not aware of this. He says things according to him, so that's what he's saying. He's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not pay attention to Mishvalim. Bivli Das, Bavur. Why does Eve make this mistake? Bavur, She'ein Daitoi Shalema, Migoidel Michoif Hayisrim. Due to the fact that his mind is not clear due to the intense suffering. Lezeh Yirbe Amorim Ba'olma. That's why he says words. V'lo Bahaskel. His words are not said with knowledge. Okay, but let's just look at the Rashi. Rashi just says one word, Yachbir Lashon Me'od, that he says many words. Okay, then the summary, we already did the summary, but let's do it again. Ho'ele mehamane hahi, what is the summary of this response? Lahoshev al tulunos Iyov, Eliyahu is coming here to respond to the complaint of Iyov, specifically, asher yisroim al machayvav im ki osa es hatov. He complains, why has Hashem caused him to suffer if he has done good? In other words, why has Hashem not rewarded me for my good deeds? Ki yashiv amorim loymar. The Eliyahu responds, we're saying, hello, ein al makom l'sham gemul adam. Number one, we have to be aware that the Shparchu has no obligation to pay, give reward to a person. Ki ma yoylo b'tzidko. Hashem does not derive any benefit from a person's good deeds. U'mayazigloy b'rishoy. Hashem does not derive any harm if a person does an avera, and therefore a person controls himself, withholds himself from doing an avera, it's not considered by Kadosh Baruch Hu as if a man has given Hashem anything significant. Ulam, why then do we find that Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah does reward man? Ulam yitzad hachesed bo hagamol. It's a very powerful theme, that all reward that we receive in this world is nothing more than an act of kindness on behalf of Hashem. It's not something which we are entitled to, no matter how many mitzvos, no matter how many good deeds we do, we have no right to demand reward. It's a very powerful idea. Speak to people. Not everyone appreciates this. Many people live with an attitude that, Hashem, you owe me. You owe me. I've done what you've wanted. You put me in this world against my will. A person is put here, Bal Karcha Chatachai, Bal Karcha Tameis. No one was asked to be put in this world. And if you put me in this world, you give me mitzvahs, and I do your mitzvahs, you have an obligation to reward me. There are entitlements in this world. Here, Eliyahu is saying something very profound. That's not so. You put in this world, and yet there are no entitlements. So he's saying that. He's saying even what Eliyahu is saying, if you take it to its natural conclusion, even Olam Haba, it's nothing more than chesed. It's not an entitlement. Yeah, but the Schar Vonesh is a chesed that Hashem does with man. It's not a duty. It's not an obligation. It's very hard for us to grasp this idea.
From
it's also not in the words of
Schar Vonesh. Schar Vonesh means entitlement. It has a connotation, entitlement, a connotation of entitlement, right? But
is he correct,
Alijo? He seems that he is. I mean, it seems so. It's very hard for us to grasp this. Okay, but wait. According to a Rabbi Schwab in his Hakdama to Elihu, seems to make it pretty clear that everything that Elihu says is correct. Rav Schwab says Eliyahu's statements are correct, and the proof is Eliyahu does not respond. Eliyahu is silent, and Hashem does not criticize Eliyahu. Hashem criticizes Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofar. Hashem does not criticize Eliyahu, and Eliyahu also never speaks back to Eliyahu. Rav Schwab says from that it seems clear, and he bases this upon Rishonim. I think the Ramban says Beferish that Eliyahu, whatever Eliyahu says, is the final word in this matter. But the Ramban, on the other hand, has a very deep understanding al derech ha'emes on what this whole response is all about. Ramban learns everything here refers to Gilgulim. Okay, a lot has to do with Gilgulim, which we're not going that direction. We're learning al derech pshat, and Schwab seems to say that the consensus of the Rishonim is that what he says is correct. But you have to understand, what we're learning now is according to the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos is very narrow, very limited. It is one of many approaches. It's on the page, it's very clear, that's why we focus on it. But it's not the only approach to understand exactly what Elihu says. So here he makes a statement that we have to be aware, Ulam Itzad HaChesed B'Hagmul, that when HaKadosh Baruch gives a person reward, it's not because he's entitled, it's because of kindness. Ulazek HaShe Yirbe HaPoyshim, and that what was the entire thing that we learned in this parak, that sometimes in this world, HaKadosh Baruch is silent, he allows the tzaddik to suffer. You know why? Because the tzaddik has failed to complain, to make a macha, to protest against the evil conduct of the Rasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is disappointed, and that disappointment caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to deny a person's bonus that Hashem would have otherwise bestowed. If it was an entitlement, Hashem would not be permitted to deny the reward. But being that it's not an entitlement, it's only a bonus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have the power to deny, to withhold. When the sinners increase, the atzadik lo yimche biyadim, the tzaddik fails to protest. Lo yikabel od hachesed, the tzaddik will no longer receive the kindness, the reward that's a bonus. Uvavur zeh lo yikabel yivgon, therefore he's coming to follow through. What is he trying to say? Therefore, that's why you have not received your reward. Your complaint was, where is the reward? 70 years of good deeds, where is the reward? The answer is, because you did not make a macho as you could have. Uvavur zeh lo yikabel yivgimul masatoiv, ki lo yimicha keroi berishay hadar. Okay, that is the message of, that is the message, and that's where we went through the psukim. That idea, indeed, we try to bring out the best that we could when we went through the psukim in this parak. Now, before we conclude this parak, I just want to point out a very popular medrash. We just alluded to it, but we alluded to it al derech when we learned the pshat back on pasuk yud aleph. Malfeinu mi bahamos aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made us wiser than the animals of the. Has taught us more than the animals of the earth, and has made us wiser than the birds of heaven. So when we learned this according to the Mitzudos, that was part of what That was part of what the tzaddik should have said to the Rasha. The tzaddik was criticized in Pasuk Yudaf according to the Perush of the Mitzudos, the lo yamar, ayeye lo ka osoy, according to the Mitzudos, the tzaddik should have said to the Rasha, Rasha, why are you rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why don't you say to yourself, where is the God, or as a rhetorical question, where is the God who has made me? And you'll come to the realization that He's right in front of you. He's right in front of your face. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right in front of you and He's aware of all of your sins, your transgressions, stop! I should not rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, who's the one that should have made this statement? You, Eoif, who is, back in Pasuk Gidal, lifts this very powerful Pasuk, who is the Nosein Zniros Baloila. The Tzaddik is described here with these code words. The Nosein Zniros Baloila, the one that gives forth song at night. And the way the Mitzvah explains is that a Tzaddik is a person that during the dark times, during the times of Hester Panim, he's able still to sense the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Hester Panim, and he sings to Hashem. He gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu songs of Shevach Vahidah even during the dark times. That is the essence of a tzaddik. But here the tzaddik has failed. He has failed to say to the Rasha, Ayei Eloka Osoy. Why don't you, Rasha, say to yourself, where is the God who has made me? And then now back to continue Pasuk Yud Aleph, and then the tzaddik should have said to the Rasha, Malpeinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made us wiser than the animals, He has taught us more than the animals, He has made us wiser than the birds, and if we study the animal world, we can take note that one animal does not devour its own kind. Okay, among their own min, we don't find world wars. We maybe among one min to the other min, they're trying to consume each other, but among themselves they live at peace. So if we are all partners.
That could be also why he doesn't mention donkey.
Fish, they do eat up one alive. Interesting idea. Very good point. But being that among the animal world, one creature does not consume another creature, so and that's true for the animals. So for human beings who are wiser or greater, alachas kam v'kama, we have a duty to live peacefully with one another. How dare you then consume and take advantage of the meek and poor and the feeble and victimize these people? This is what the tzaddik should have said to the Rasha. The tzaddik did not say this to the Rasha. The tzaddik is guilty of not making a macha, and therefore he's going to be denied. That's what goes on. Sham, that's what we learned yesterday. Therefore, he's going to be denied all of this, all of the bonus reward that he should have received in this world. Okay, now there are two midrashim I want to point out. Number one is this pasuk is quoted quite often in the Musar Sfar. If you ever learn a Musa Sefer, all different types of Musa from English, Hebrew, they'll always quote this Pasuk. And with this Medrash, it's both a Medrash and it is a Gemara. The Gemara is in Erevin. Okay, not that long ago, Erevin Daf Kuf. How long ago did we learn Erevin? About a year ago? Something like that? So what does it say? Are we the Gemara? Omer Avchia, the Erevin Daf Kuf, Omer Beis, Omer Avchia, Mai Dechsev, Malfeinu, Mi Bahamos, Aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made us, taught us more than the animals of the earth, and we have Hashem Yachkimenu. So the one makes a drasha. Don't read the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Don't read the Mem. See, when you read the Mem of Mi Bahamos, it means more than. Rather, read it like a Shva. Mi, from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has directed us, has told us to learn from the animals. To learn from the animals, not that Hashem made us smarter than the animal. Look at their middle, it's the same idea as the pshat, but in a different angle. What do we mean? Hashem told us to learn from the animals. Zopereda, this is the mule. What should we learn from the mule? Shekoras umashtenes mayim, tznius. When the mule goes, needs to relieve itself, it squats. It does not relieve itself standing, even though it could. But it recognizes that that's a time when it's exposed. It exposed itself more than is normal, and it has a sense of tznius. Human beings or other creatures should not see it in this state of exposure. That's what an animal does. A human being also should have a certain sense of of tznius of tznius.
Of a cat.
The Gemara. So the Gemara talks about cat as something else. Cat. Let's see. The Gemara gives them an example. So when it releases waste, and the oif hashemayim. Let's see. We read the whole Gemara. Don't read like we learned until now. Hashem has made us wiser, but rather it means that we Hashem told us to learn from the birds. Tarnagol shemefayis v'achakach boyel. In marital relations, okay, they're not married, but in relations of pru revu, they mate. So the one tarnagol does not just come upon the female without permission. And the if Amar Yochanan, that's what we learn from the birds. Amar Yochanan, Molly Lenin Torah Hayin Lenin Gemara's examples. Tsnius may chosul, like what you also said. Tsnius, another example from the cat. The gazelle theft minimala. The arroyos miyina. Derech Eretz Mitarnagol. What do we know? Eretz Mitarnagol. Shemafayis and Derech Eretz Mitarnagol. Like we mentioned, Shemafayis the Achar Kach Boyel. That Lumar gives examples. My Mefayis. What does it mean that the Tarnagol is Mefayis? Okay, the Gemara goes on. The Gemara just gives an example. It's a very, very strange Gemara. Omar, okay, the Gemara doesn't explain all the other things in detail. I'll go to the Medrash in a moment. Just, but what are some of the examples? Omar, Rav Yehuda, Marav, Hachi, Kamar, La Zavenina Lich Ziga Dematu Lich. The Matulich al Karach, which means in English, I will buy for you a beautiful garment which will reach all the way down to your legs. Before the Tarnagol wants to mate with its min, it says, I'll buy you a nice dress. I'll give you a gift certificate at Bergdorf. You can go to Bergdorf Goodman, or you can go to Saks. I'll give you a gift certificate. You can buy a dress. Notice it says the dress will go all the way down to your feet. I guess this will be, you know.
They won't get it at Bergdorf.
They won't get it right. This is like a field day for all the Kanoim. This Chazal is a field day for the Kanoim. Tznius, I'll buy you a dress all the way down to your legs. And then the female acquiesce. Yes, okay. And then what happens? Then after he says, okay, now it's time to pay. Ula'acha maisa, okay, amale, it shakes itself. That's the derech of birds. After the maisa of mating, it shakes itself. What it's doing is, it's saying, I'm sorry, I'm broke. I know I promised you, and the way it's noticeable because it first bends. The way it bends, the bending is representing, I'm going to buy a present. Oimer lo lish mitase lekarbele dahu tarnagol lo. May my crown, the beauty of my head, be cut off. I is lay if I have veloy za verna loch and I don't buy for you. In other words, it shakes itself. What happens is after the maisa of mating a bird, it shakes its head. When it's shaking its head, in essence, what it's saying is to its mate that you see the beauty, the beautiful crown. Birds have different colored feathers on their head. I'm willing to forfeit my beauty. If I had money to buy you a press. Now it's hard for us to see this conversation taking place, but that's what Chazal tell us. Now I actually don't have here the Medrash. I probably read in Rav Schwab. So then what about an ant? Okay, just the one example. Gezel mechasul. This is very interesting. That if an ant, when they find food, you know, as we all have seen these ant farms, and it carries a teeny little morsel of food. And then let's say it drops. What? It happens so often that it drops its food. So if you study, I never study these things, but if it says, if you study these things, even though they're surrounded by thousands of hundreds of ants, no other ant would dare come and take advantage of the situation and take that kernel, that teeny mashua food for itself. They all have respect. This is yours. You have acquired this teeny morsel of food and you're carrying it on your back. If it falls, okay, we're not going to take advantage. Incredible. sensitivity among the ants not to steal from another creature. Alachas kamvakam, how much we have to learn from this. Okay, what are the other examples? Okay, the cat is also, there's a din of tznius, and a cat does not relieve waste. The same exact thing as the mule. Okay, the pirda and the cat seem to have the same midah. He even quotes from Rucham Lavovitz had a cat. Okay, all different gedolim had different types of animals. So we have Shwabi quotes from Rucham Lavovitz had a cat, and he always took note that the cat, you know, they would lock him up in the house because I guess it was cold or how whatever it was, and it was, he said, he used to take note that you noticed the cat had cramps. The cat was in a lot of pain, and it very much wanted to relieve itself, but would not do so until they would open the door and they would let it go outside. He himself was able to take note of this. What other example did he give? The Namola Arayas Miyoina. We all know that Gemara Yoina is loyal to its mate. That's why it says Tor Hu Ben Yoina, famous Bal Haturim. When Yoledes. Not a Yoledes. What's the case? I've got one of the examples of Mitzaras. When a woman, one of the examples of when a woman brings birds, if she's wealthy, she brings animals. But if she's poor, she brings a single bird. So in this instance, when she brings a single bird, a Yoledes, she brings a single bird for the Chatas. So normally, every time you bring bird, in sets. It's always two birds, either Torah or Bnei Yoina. And the Torah always puts the Yoinim first. The only time the Pasuk puts the Torah first is when she brings a single bird. Why? Because when you're bringing two birds, so you'll bring a pair. A pair means a couple. The male and the female. But when you only bring one bird, then if you're going to bring the Yona, you're going to cause its partner to become an aguna for the rest of its life, because once two birds agree that they will act as mates, they will be loyal to each other for the rest of their existence, and if one of them disappears, the other one will refuse to have to mate with another creature. So it's tsar bale chayim. If a person is only planning, a woman is only planning on bringing one bird, better take from the Toirim, because among the term they don't have this loyalty to one another. If the partner is missing, so the other partner will go and find a new partner. But among the min of the Yoinim, if the partner is missing in action, the other partner will not abandon, will not take a new partner. So you will be all alone for the remainder of its existence, which is a degree of tsar bale chayim, and that is what the Torah changed from the derech. Instead of writing yoinim first and then toirim, the Torah, when the situation arises, we only take one bird, the Torah first says the tar or obed yoina, in order not to cause it tsar. So what do you learn from that? You learn that the yoinim are loyal to their spouses, to their mates. Alachas kam v'kama, a human being who has a shibut, who has an obligation to be loyal through kedushin, ksuba, and so on and so forth. Alachas kam v'kama, how much a person has to learn to be loyal to his spouse. Okay. Yonasi b'chag v'hasel. Excellent. Rav Shab makes a point also. Yonasi b'chag v'hasela. Klaitos was called to Yonasi Tamasi because we are loyal to, or we're supposed to be loyal to Hashem. We don't exchange Hashem for a false god. Okay, there's another important medrash. The medrash here is that the pasuk before v'lo Omar ayei eloka osoy noisin zmiros paloyla. Besides the simple explanation of the pasuk as we explained a few times, it also Chazal also uses pasuk as a reference to Talmidei Chachamim that learn Torah at night. The greatest shmira for life is to be osek into Torah. Is called a zimra. It's the pasuk in Tehillim where David actually was punished. David was actually punished for calling Torah zimiros. But with the fact that he did call it a zimira, we do find that it's called a song. Torah is called a shira. And the Medrash Darshins, a human person that is no same zemiro spaloila, he is osik in Torah at night, at the time when he's free from his activities, after a day of working you're free, he will merit to live a life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always have his back, will always guard him. He will never come to a point in time where he will say, V'loy Omar, Ayei Eloka Osoy. Beautiful medrash. A person, you read the pasuk backwards, a person that is no saint, Zimiros Baloyla, he learns Torah at night, he gives forth song at night Torah, he will merit, he'll live a life, V'loy Omar, he'll never have to say, God, where did you go? What happened to you? How come you abandoned me? How could you let this happen? How could you disappear? V'loy Omar, he will never say, Ayei, where is Eloka Osoy? He will always at least sense, okay, no one has it easy, but at least he always will sense the Hashkocha Pratis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga. He will always see the Yad Hashem. Okay, there's another very long medrash. I'm not going to go, just tell you what it's about. It's in Bamidbar Rabbah Parsha Chof Gimel. He mentions, takes this pasuk of Malfeinu Mivahamos Oretz Umeyof Hashmaim Yachmenu, and it darshens it at great length in reference to Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi, at the time when he gathered all the Nevi Habal, the Haftorah Parshas Kisisa. This week's parsha, we read Parshas Pinchas was what follows right after the end of Parshas Pinchas, where Eliyahu gathered Nevi Habal, and he told them, let's offer a paros, I'll offer my par, you'll offer your par, and I'll cry to Hashem, you'll cry to the Baal, and we will see whose carbon is accepted. And their carbon was not accepted, of course, and Hashem came down and accepted the carbon of Eliyahu, and they all broke forth saying, Hashem hu elokim, Hashem hu elokim. So in that story, there's a medrash that tells us that the paros, they were equal. They were equal. They were twins. The two paros, the two cows, were identical twins. And when they were selected, the par that was selected for the carbon of the Nevi Habal did not want to go. It refused to go. And Eliyahu had to whisper into its ear, "Go, don't worry." And they quote this pasuk: "Vayikhu es hapar asher nasan lachem." And they took the pie that was given to them, jumping to the end of Melakach Ksiv, Malfeinu Mibahamos Oretz. Umeyoif Hashemayim Yach Kimeinu. The Medrash quotes this pasuk in reference to that story. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Limdu Min HaOrvim. Now, what about there are two parts? There are the birds and there are the animals. Now, part of that story was Eliyahu, who was on the run after this event happened. That was really this week's Haftarah, the last week's Haftarah, Parash Pinchas. After this event happened, where he said, Hashem Elohim, Hashem Elohim, Achav told Izevel that all the Nevi Habal were killed. The king told the queen, and Izevel said, we have to kill Eliyahu. Eliyahu went into hiding. And he went on to get nothing to eat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Orvim. Hashem sent the ravens. Hashem sent the ravens to go to the house of Achav and to take Basar and to bring the Basar to Eliyahu to eat. And then there's a question that Chazal always discuss. It's Basar Shenisale Min Ha'ayin. And more than Basar Shenisale Min Ha'ayin, it's also who says the meat in the house of Achav was kosher meat. So we have a whole bunch of answers to resolve the problem that it was kosher meat and it's not a problem Basar Shenisale Min Ha'ayin. Now, part of the medrash is that those ravens, when they were sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get the meat for Eliyahu to feed him, they came to the house of Achav. They did not want to enter. Okay, it's not a well-known medrash because they did not want to enter into the home of a rasha, even though the food, how was the food kosher? I guess it was double wrapped. It was sealed. It came from.
No, you.
Oh, Mayavsky. Mayavsky must have given Hashkocha, right? No? It was wrapped up. Whatever the story was, the ravens refused to enter the house. And okay, the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do something unusual that the food would be thrown out of the house. The ravens refused to enter the home, the vicinity of a rasha, and the food somehow had to be sent out of the house. I don't know how, whatever. Hashem had to send the...
You mentioned ravens, because ravens are like Roshayim themselves.
The Orvim. Okay, but that was Orvim. From Noach.
The distinction between the Yom and the Orvim.
Okay, I don't know. You hear what you're saying, okay. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell them, listen, you have to go And I'll read you what it says. So, because this is not something that's commonly known. Not from Achav. This is from Yehoshaphat. Roitzim oisam arvim likanes bebeisoy shel osa rasha Achav. No, I made a mistake. Not from Achav, from Yehoshaphat. They brought from Yehoshaphat, who was a tzaddik. He was the melech of Yehuda. So when he was, there were two lines of kingdom. There was the melech Yisrael, melech Yehuda. At this point in time, the birds were sent to Achav. And the birds, according to this medrash, okay, there are different conflicting medrashim, but according to this medrash, the birds were sent to the home of Achav to retrieve meat and bread. The birds refused to enter. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to redirect the GPS coordinates to go to the house of Yehoshaphat, who was a tzaddik. He was the melech of Yehuda. Why didn't the birds want to go? It was a much shorter trip, much less gasoline, much cheaper to travel to the home of Achav than to the home of Yehoshaphat. Because in his house there was avodah zara. So Hashem had said, okay, fine, I'll reset the GPS coordinates to go to the home of Yehoshaphat, they'll get kosher meat and kosher bread. So here Hashem says, look, we have here Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, there were two stories. There were animals and birds. When it came to offer the par to Hashem, when he collected the Nevi HaBaal, and he offered the two parim, and the miracle of Hashem Elokim, the par that was selected by the Nevi HaBaal refused to ascend the pyre for the Nevi HaBaal. It's only after Eliyahu whispered in its ear, you have no choice, the same way my par will be Makadish Hashem, by you going, by you not being accepted. So the whole story also will serve as the Kiddush Shem Shemaim. Did the par listen to Eliyahu? But initially it refused. And the birds, who were sent to feed Eliyahu after he had to escape for his life, also refused to enter the home of Achav the Rasha. So the Medrash says, beautiful Medrash, Bereshit Rabbah, takes this pasuk. That's exactly what the deeper meaning of the pasuk, according to this layer of interpretation, is. Hashem says, Malfeinu, I taught you, told you, I instructed you to study and to learn mi bahamos oretz, the parois of Achav, Paros of Eliyahu, and from Omeif Hashamayim, and from the birds of the heaven, referring to the Orvim Yachkimenu, I've made you wise. If the animals and birds that don't have much intellect were sensitive enough not to allow themselves to be used for an Avera, as a carbon for Avodah Zarah, or to retrieve food from the house of an Ovid Avodah Zarah, al achas kama v'kama, a human being who is a Bar Yisrael, should have sensitivity not to be partners in doing a Maisa Avera. So basically what we've done over here is we've taken this pasuk, we've given three interpretations, three different mahalkam. The Pshuta Shal Mikra, is, according to the Mitzudos, is that the tzaddik should have told the Rasha, look at the animals. The animals, one min does not devour its own kind. Among one min, we don't find genocide. And if there's no genocide among the animals, there should not be genocide among human beings. That's pshat according to the Mitzudos. According to the Gemara in Erevin, it means to learn derech eretz, midos toivos, tsnius, gezel, arayos, along these lines. And according to the third medrash from the Bereishis Rabbah, the pasuk is directing us specifically to the Maisa Shel Eliyahu with regard to the parois and the arvim. Three mahalchim in one pasuk. Okay, now we go to the next parak, parak lamed vav. Vayosef Elihu, Vayomar Elihu. He continued to speak. We mentioned this Rashi last week. Dr. Friedman brought my attention that it was it's a Feirush Rashi, that here is the fourth speech of Elihu. This is the first time we use the word Vayosef. The first three times it said Vayan. Why the first three times we had another word Vayosef? We Rashi right away. Vayosef, Elihu, Reisi, Bitame Rav, Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. Rashi every so often quotes Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. We don't know who he was.
Hugas.
Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, Parsha Zeyof and Nidreshas. Is that where he says it? Okay, but this Rashi quotes here, Moshe Hadarshan, Shalafich Omar Gimel, who by Moshe Hadarshan, maybe, I don't know, I personally don't know, but I'm sure there was what to know, I don't know. We see, B'taymei Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, Shalafich Omar Gimel Manois, Keneged Gimel Rei Yev. The first three corresponded to the first three friends, which is very interesting. That really opens up a new direction. I don't know anything, but if we were to study it in greater depth, greater detail, perhaps by looking at the answer, sometimes when you don't understand what the person says, from the answer you can understand the question, or from the response, the rebuttal, you can understand the argument. So now that we have the secret that each response of Elihu corresponds to the argument of Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofar, we have a set, and we're able to maybe connect some of the dots to get a deeper appreciation of what was said. But here, this doesn't fit into the pattern, because now we're up to number four. We had three friends. Now, by the way, each friend had more than one argument. Each friend, Eliphaz, argued three times. Sofar argued three times. Bildad argued three times, and Bildad only argued twice. What? Sofar was the third. Rabbi Sofar was the third, only argued twice. So it was three, and two. And corresponding to each, I guess, that set of three of Eliphaz was the first response of Elihu. Corresponding to the second three of Bildad is the second response. Corresponding to the two of Bildad is the third response. Of Sofar is the third response. And now we have number four, does not fit the pattern. And that's why it says Vayosef. Now he's going off the topic. He's going to say things that are not related to anything that was said before. That's why it's called Tosefes. Okay, so Vayosef Elihu Vayomar. The Rash Mitzudos says Vishor Mitzudos. Alki Kvar Heshev Al Kol Asher Hislein Iyov. He has another interpretation. According to the Mitzudos, this is not the reason why it's Vayosef. It's not because he's responding in addition to the three friends. Here, he's not addressing any particular argument. Until now, in the three responses, Elihu was addressing a specific part, aspect of Eov's complaint. The last thing that we've just learned, he focused specifically on where's the reward. In the second, the question was, why do I suffer? The first, I don't remember. We have to go back and remember all the different problem. But here, he's coming to speak to him, to say things that are not related to the arguments that were presented by Eov. Lefi al ki kvar hishev al kol asher hisloin in Eov. Omar now va Yosef. He's going to say something new. It's not related. Ki loy ba atarak lochisif tvarim lechazek ma morv harishonim to mimchazek. Not particularly to focus on any particular argument. Okay, pasuk beis. Pasuk beis is a very strange pasuk because it's written in Aramaic. The whole thing. No, you don't have to. Not like we had before. Before, we many times we had words, and we had a machlokes, Rashi, and the Mitzudos. Is this an Aramaic word, or is this a Hebrew word? Or is it a composite of two Hebrew words? So we always had room to wiggle. Because generally, everything in Sefer Eov is in Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh. And if you're going to find occasionally a word that has no precedent, we have a struggle to translate the word, so we're able to bend the rules. Okay, this is going to be an Aramaic word, but it's the Yotzei Min HaKlal. Here we have a whole pasuk that is in Aramaic. Katar li ze'er. There's no room for apology here. Katar means to wait. Hamtein li. Wait for me ze'er a little bit. Ki va'acha ve'ko. And I will speak. In other words, Eve, I see you're on edge. I see you have what to say. You're all worked up, even though at the end he never was worked up. He never responded. When it's all over, he doesn't respond to Elihu. But somehow, could be Elihu did sense that Eve was trying about to respond, and he Eliel says it's premature. Yeah. Don't respond yet. Let me. I have more to say. Calm me down. Katar means to wait. Zer a little bit. Va'achaveka, and I will speak to you. Ki od le'eloka milim. There are more words to God. I am in the place of God. That's a pretty. We had that many times. I represent God. That was how we started. Your original complaint was it's not fair that I won't take Hashem to Din Torah. But even if I'll take Hashem to Din Torah, I'll be terrified in His presence. You don't have to be terrified. I represent God. Anything you would say to Him, you can say to me. I'm His lawyer. I'm His representative, and I'm a boss of Adam, just like you. There's nothing to be afraid. So here in the place of God, I have what to say. Let's take a look at the mitzudos. Katar li. Well, let's first look at the mitzudos siyam because he explains these different words. Katar minyan hamtana. Okay, it means to wait. Okay, then he goes on. He quotes over here. Ulutaroso iyim yechilu. Targum Yonis son Yachtim. The word for Yachilu means to wait. There, the Targum there translates in Aramaic. It means to wait. Okay, Zer means a small amount. Okay, let's just go back now to the Mitzvot David. Katar li lebal Yachshav Iyov shekvar hishem kol mamar. In order that Iyov should not think that Eliyahu is finished, the Avohu lahashiv and he will respond lahashiv ma leze amar. That is why he preempts him. Amar od hamten li ma'ad zman. Wait for me a little bit. Va'agi l'chon amon. I'll tell you some words. Ki yesh od imodi milim bavur. I have more words bavur eloka v'mekom because I represent in the place of God and in the place of Hashem. I have what to say. Okay, Rashi katar li zer v'achaveka. I will speak. Kuloi loshon aramihu. Chuchal li ma'at. Wait for me a little bit. V'agidcha. Katar loshon chuchal means to wait. Kasher Targum Yonis, like Targum Yonis, and says ulterosa iem yachelu. This is a pasuk. Okay, this is pasuk Yeshaya ulterosa iem. Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know what the pasuk means. I thought. Okay, but the word there, yachilu, the translation for yachilu means yachterun. The translation means to wait. In that passage, the word yachilu means to wait. The Targum translates it to yachterun, means to wait. Le'eloka, le'boimim come for those that come in Hashem's place, referring to myself. Now, the question is, why is this pasuk written in Aramaic? Why couldn't he say this pasuk in Hebrew? It's a very simple answer. Because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what?
Not even the whole thing, yeah.
But the whole pasuk is, well, he kula loshon arami, the expression.
That phrase.
Katar li ze'er v'achaveket. Why is that entire expression written in Aramaic? There's a very simple answer. Why is Hashem, we discussed a few times, Kaddish is in Aramaic. Why is Kaddish in Aramaic? Yiskadal v'yiskadash miraba. Because we're focusing on Hashem's name. The whole focus of Kaddish is to sanctify the name of God. What's the name of God? In the Torah, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, without going into all the details, is Aramaic. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is a composite of Hoya, Hove, V'yia. The past, the present, and the future, three Aramaic words, past, present, and future. It's an Aramaic composite, because if it would be in Hebrew, it would be, I don't remember the details, it would be different. Hoya, Hove, V'yia, it's Aramaic. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's essence is past, present, future. Hashem is L'malam and Hazman. And the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is past, present, future, all wrapped up in one, is something which cannot be expressed in Hebrew. Why? Because Hebrew captures the essence of something. And it is humanly impossible for a human being, a mortal, to understand the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And especially, being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence is beyond time, past, present, future, all wrapped up in one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything, past, present, and future, that is impossible for a human being to relate to. The only way we can relate to that is through translation, is through comparison, is through standing back and trying to entering the world of demionos, in imagination, but not in the world of reality. That's why it's a translation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anytime you translate something, you are distancing yourself from its essence. This is the essence. I have no connection to the essence. I only can relate to it through through my imagination, through dimyonos, through standing back from behind the curtain, through a dimyon. A translation is a dimyon, is just a figure of imagination of something's essence. So when we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's impossible to describe his essence, so there is no Hebrew word for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The best that we can do is have an Aramaic word which captures past, present, future. In this pasuk we're doing over here, look what he's doing. It's amazing, this fits so well into this pasuk. This fits so well into explaining Kaddish. He's saying, I'm now coming in the name of God. I'm coming to you in the name of God. Ki od le Elokai milam. Here I am. I am God. I'm his representative. Really, you're his representative. And what else is he saying? Wait for me a little bit. That's a contradiction. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing as waiting, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, time is hoya hove v'yeh. It's all one and the same. The idea to wait means not now. Give it half an hour. Give it 45 minutes. Give it time. That's not true by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sees everything. Therefore, we have no choice but to acknowledge that we're just entering into the world of dimyonos. We're not truly representing Hashem. We're only representing Hashem in the limited form that were humanly possible to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it has to be expressed in Aramaic, not in Lashon Kodesh. Okay, so that's, I think it's a very powerful idea. It really fits into a lot of things that I said about why Kaddish, Lashon Aramaic, it fits in very well with this pasuk, and this pasuk is, I represent Hashem, and I'm telling you, Eov, you gotta have patience. Patience is not something which you can say if you are Hashem's representative, but if you are acknowledging that you're just a dimyon, and you're you're distancing yourself, then it can be done. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Gimel. Esa dei limei rachok. Let me express my opinion to the distance. V'lifoali etein tzedek, and to my Creator I will give righteousness. In other words, I will say words on behalf of my Creator, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that will make him look good. And therefore, I'll make him look justified. I'm his lawyer. I'm God's lawyer. And when the day is over, he's going to look really good. And therefore, I have no fear. Let my opinion be sent forth to the far distance. When you tell something, when you want to say something that's not 100%, don't tell anyone. It's a secret. Just keep it between us. Why do you tell people just keep it between us? Because you know, if word gets out, it's not going to be good. But what I have to say is good. I want the word to get out. I want this expression to go limerachok, to the far ends of the world. It's not meant to be kept among a small group of people. It's meant to go far. Esa dei my opinion go merachok. To a far distance, it's MS Ulupali, and thus on behalf of my Creator, the one that has created me, Etain Tzedek, I'll give forth words of righteousness. That's the part of the Mitzvot Pasuk Gimel. Esaday, Esa Kodli, I'm going to raise my voice, Lahashmiya Dati Limerachok, Leman Yishmu Rabbi, many people should hear, what he means to say is, Kolorets, Lahashav, Yevul, Hashav. I have nothing to be afraid of. Anyone wants to respond, someone has something to say, let him speak up. Ulupali, Etain Tzedek, Adaber Tzedek, I will speak Tzedek. My creator. Okay, now there's a very beautiful medrash. This medrash is said in reference Bamidbar Rabbah. The medrash is said in reference, one medrash at a time, to the golem. Okay, the masos in the midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wanted to arrange Klal Yisrael to travel in the midbar, was faced with a very big dilemma. They were all spooks. Klal Yisrael. And if you tell them, I want you to go on the north, and you on the south, and you go in the front, the north. So they would say, Mitzafa in Tipota Chara? You're telling us to go to the north. The north is not a good side. You're telling me to go to the west. there's a bad wind. Whatever you'll tell someone where to stand, they're not going to like. Can you imagine if you're given the assignment to tell everyone where to sit in shul, to make seats? People who have the job, the Gabbai, who have a job of giving out seats for the Yom Noiroyim, it's a nightmare. I want to sit here, I want to sit there. I don't want to sit next to this one, I want to sit next to that one. By weddings, right? You know what a job, all the politics, you have to pay this one, hates this one likes this one. Don't put this one on this one's table, don't put this mechutin, don't put, I have three mechutanim, make sure the mechutin doesn't sit with this one, that one, because of this fight. It's a nightmare, yeah?
My father, he was a secretary in a big shul. And every, before the Yom Noroyim,
yeah,
this big plan inside his office, the squares, this.
It's a nightmare.
So many times he had to rearrange the seats.
The first one to have this nightmare was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the aft. He had arranged 600,000 people where they all stand when they travel in the Midbar, surrounding the Torah when they travel in the Midbar, the Masos. It was a real nightmare. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash, not going to be holding inside. He elaborates. Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it's impossible. It's impossible. This is one of the most impossible things you're going to give me." So Hashem said, "No problem. You don't have to. You know, just as a precedent." Yaakov Avinu already solved the problem. When Yaakov died, as he was about to die, he told his children, "Unisosani mimitzrayim, don't let me be buried here. I want you to carry me out of Egypt. I want you to right away take me to Eretz Canaan and bury me there." And he told them exactly how to stand. Ruvein, I'm not going with the marriage, he told them exactly where. Here, Tziva Ela. They should go on the east. Ruven v'Shimon v'Gad yitanu mitasim min ha'dorim. Ephraim v'Menashe v'Yamin yitanu min ha'mariv. Don, Asher, Naphtali yitanu min ha'tzafon. Yosef al yitan. Shumelech v'Atem tshichem lachlik le'kovet. Levi al yitan. Lama. Because he will one day carry the Aron. He's the one that's going to carry my coffin, itself, whatever it is. So Yaakov Avinu already set a pattern how to carry his coffin from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe said, just do what you did last year. Like the joke I told you many times, every shul when it comes to Parsha Zocha, they make an announcement. Before we read Parsha Zocha, you have to have Kavana. What Kavana? There are a million different types of kavana. A kavana that when you hear the parsha, you're going to go out into the street and you're going to wipe out all the Amalekim? Is that the kavana? Someone that you have to... A kavana, you listen to the parsha, Almanas Lasais, bear arms. After you hear Parsha Zohar, you have kavana to go home and get a weapon and go out and kill the Amalekim. Is that the kavana? Some say, yeah. Kavana to be yitze. Kavana to be yitze, the brachas. So there was once a shul, a real Haredi shul, and they're very, very all waiting for the Gabbai. What is he going to say? And whatever the Gabbai is going to say, whatever he's going to say after davening is over, they're going to slug him up. The announcement that you made is shleikidin, only if you're the Chasam Soif, not if you're the Kiva Eger, not according to the Rambam, not according to this, not according to that, whatever you do. So he gets something, he says, "Rabbi Sai, we're about to parasha Zohar, Yishu Mechavin now. Whatever you were machaving last year." Saved. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and says, "Rabbi Sai, we're about to march in the Midbar. Stand where you stood yesterday." What does it mean yesterday? Yaakov Avinu. Wherever Yaakov Avinu 210 years ago told you to stand when you carried my Aron, that's where you are to stand. So, and the Medrash in Bamidbar takes this pasuk, okay, this beautiful pasuk, you can apply this to many different examples like this, this pasuk, and reads it into Yaakov Avinu. Esa dehi l'mei rachok. Yaakov Avinu, when he expressed his opinion of how everyone should stand around his bed, he wasn't just telling it for the people living today. I'm going to tell you my opinion l'mei rachok, for what's going to be in 250 years from now. Al pi ruach hakodesh, he saw a machlekes that would break out in Klal Yisrael. I'm giving over my opinion, esodei l'mei rachok, in time. Mordek, it's a beautiful, unbelievable, powerful lesson. A person, when person does them, makes decisions, you have to take into consideration the ramifications, the consequences of the decision for long term. what's going to be l'mei rachok. And by doing so, l'poal li Yaakov Avinu said that for my Creator, etain tzedek, by doing so I will give tzedek, basically I will prevent machlokes. There will be tzedek, there will be righteousness among the people, they will not break out in feuds. Machlokes, why should we stand here and stand there? Okay, so that is one medrash. Another medrash, another very beautiful medrash is that it describes in reference to the creation of a human being. When a person is conceived, he is conceived, I'll read you what it says, quietly, and the person starts as a tipa serucha, a putrid speck, a drop. Wow. And from that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives forth, produces a beautiful child. So the Medrash says, we one Medrash here, Amar Shmuel Bar Bar Idi B'Shem Rav Acha. Let me jump down. B'noig Sheba Olam Im Mafkid Adam Eitzel Chaveira Arniki Shal Kesef. Is it normal that you give a person as a deposit? I give you an arniki, a purse of silver, Bachashai, and I give it back to you. I give it to you privately, in the middle of the night. I give you a purse filled with silver. And then, when it comes time to give back, okay, I'm giving it to you for safekeeping. And then you give back to me not silver but gold, and you give it back to me in public. So the marital relations take place bechashai, secretly. And it's considered relative to the child. It's considered kesef, meaning in this example, it's insignificant. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes from that deposit and fashions a human being, which is gold, and delivers it to the person. Bifarhesia, the whole world sees that a child was born and a new person has come into this world. So the Medrash takes this idea and plugs it into this pasuk. The pasuk is ulepoali. To my Pali literally means my master. Okay, I called you Pali means the one that created me. The one that created me, and that's why the Medrash ties us into the conception of a human being. I will give him tzedek. I will declare him righteous. He has done for me more than what I have done for him. My participation in the process was minimal compared to what he has done for me. The one, my Pali, I will give tzedek, I will give forth expressions of tzedek that he has done, he has assisted in this process infinitely more than I have. And I have to humble myself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the theme of the Medrash, of this Medrash. Whereas other examples, I'll leave it with that. Let's go Pasuk Dal. Ki Omnam Lo Sheker Miloi Tamim Deos Imach. Difficult Pasuk. Eliyahu says, the truth is, my words are not false. I'm going to say now, Eliyahu, if you take notice, he's very into long introductions. Every time before he says something, it takes him a very long time to get those words out. You know, it's like a baseball game. Until they get the first pitch out, they have to go through the lineup, sing the Star Spangled Banner, announce all the names. There's a long introduction until finally new play ball. Until we get those words. Ki amnam l'shekem yul. There's no shek in the words. Tamim deos imach. Now that's a hard expression. Two different perushim. Tamim means the perfection of knowledge is with you. What does this mean? Let's see first the Mitsudos David. Ki amnam. Ki be'emes ein divri amri sheker. The truth is, my words are not false. Ulaman hak nitcha. Don't accuse me of trying to anger you. Ki hadeos hema tamimim ushleimim imach. The Mitsudos is taking the words tamimim and deos to refer to the words of miloi. It's an explanation of the word miloi. My words are tamim, they're complete, and my knowledge is complete, and it's, what does it mean, imach? Imach means for your benefit. Ko'imer, haloi oihavim anachnu. We love you. Now that's this fits very well into the theme, the difference between Elihu and and the three friends. The three friends did not show any love. The three friends were extremely critical, extremely nasty, harsh. And Elihu has empathy, is endearing, sympathetic. He calls him by his name, Eoiv, 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 multiple times. Here he says, Tanim des imach. Imach means we're with you. We love you. We're one with you. And we're only looking for your benefit. Why would we want to anger you? The imre sheker, with words of sheker. Avalo emes agil, I'm going to tell you the truth. And he's going back now to the previous passage. By telling you words of emes, my words will spread too far, to the far ends of the earth. Or as the targo, as the medrash means, for all time, today. Here, look at this. L'meirachok. See, we're now how many years since these words were said? 3,000 years, maybe more, maybe less. So we are meirachok. The words of Eliyahu has now been spread to the far distance. I'm not afraid of the morning kolo. Anyone's going to slug me up. I'm not afraid of anyone. Mimi kilo yimsa mi chazev. There's not going to be anyone that's going to contradict my words. Rashi seems to have a different interpretation. Tanim deos imach. Hine aschil atal adaber imach. I'm now going to speak with you. Sha'atos savur shedeoscha shalema. According to Rashi, the word tanim deos imach is not referring to miloy. You see the difference? According to Eof, I'm now, my words are not sheker. I'm speaking to you. You think you're perfect. You think you're perfect, but I want to let you know you're not perfect. I have something that's going to shake you up. So machlekes, a fundamental machlekes, Rashi and the Mitzudos, are the words tanim deos. Is that part of miloy, or is that part of imach? According to the Mitzudos, the tanim deos is part of miloy, and we have to put a break after the word deos, which is not, doesn't fit very well with ta'ame hamikra, but that's never been a problem in Eov, because, or in purposes of Jewish. Ki alam le sheker miloy. Tamim, my miloy are not false. Tamim deos, my words are complete and my knowledge is complete. And imach, I'm only coming to do, to speak imach on your behalf in order to make you happy, to take away your pain. Rashi, no. Ki amam lo sheker miloy, my words are not sheker. I'm now, and after I add some words in the past, I'm now about to speak to you, Yof. I'm addressing you, the one who thinks you're perfect. Tamim deos imach. Okay, we'll leave Pasuk for tomorrow.